Chapter 136. The area where his heart was located suddenly became numb, even numbing his fingertips. Alaric couldn't help but let out a muffled groan, instinctively pressing his palm against his chest. Hearing his painful moan, Victoria looked over and noticed him leaning against the steering wheel with a terrible complexion. For all the time they'd known each other, Alaric's health had remained great, hardly ever falling ill. This was the first time Victoria had ever seen him in such a bad state, so she was also taken aback as she quickly reached out to support him. "What's wrong? Are you feeling unwell?" The dull pain did not disappear but instead intensified when Victoria supported him, and the feeling of emptiness in his heart continued to grow. However, when he saw the worry on Victoria's face, this feeling of emptiness was slowly filled with another emotion. Alaric wasn't answering, yet still sweating profusely and appearing to be in great pain, so Victoria said, "I'll call an ambulance for you." But before she could even reach for her phone, Alaric grabbed her wrist tightly with his hot and strong palm, and it felt like a branding iron against her skin. He gripped her wrist tightly while suddenly leaning toward her. Victoria was startled, thinking that Alaric was only doing so because he wasn't feeling well, so she quickly reached out to support him once again. However, Alaric stopped just inches away from her lips, his dark and deep gaze piercing into her in the dim environment. The pain made his breathing unstable. Regardless, Alaric still held onto her hand tightly and pressed it against his chest as if doing so would ease the pain. Victoria lowered her head and glanced at where her hand was placed, which happened to be over Alaric's heart, and it was pounding so hard that even she could feel it. She had never seen Alaric act as such before. "What's wrong with you?" she asked as she looked at the agony on his face, wondering why he was so close to her despite being in so much pain. Alaric's Adam's apple bobbed up and down as he pursed his thin lips. "Are you worried about me? What do you think?" Victoria replied. Given the way he looked, it was only natural for her to worry. She didn't pick up on anything about Alaric's questioning, but she did sense that his breathing was becoming more and more unstable. Thus, she suggested, for fear of his safety, "Let me call an ambulance." "Don't." Alaric growled, then accused her, saying, "You're not worried about me." His words made Victoria furrow her brows in frustration. "What are you talking about? Let go of my hand, and I'll call for an ambulance. If you don't want to get an ambulance, I'll take you to the hospital." Alaric gazed at her silently as if trying to ascertain something, then only released her hand slowly after some time. "I'm not going." While saying so, he sat back and closed his eyes while resting against the seat. The dull pain in his heart from earlier felt all too real, but it had subsided somewhat now. Nevertheless, Alaric's forehead was covered in sweat, and a few strands of black hair stuck onto it. Seeing him lean back in his seat, Victoria frowned. "Why won't you go to the hospital? You're not feeling well." "It won't do any good," Alaric muttered. Victoria's frown deepened. "How do you know that if you haven't even gone to the hospital? Do you even know what your symptoms are?" He sat in silence with his eyes downcast, still reeling from the agony he had just endured. In the dingy environment, he looked almost defeated with a hint of sadness etched on his face that made her heart ache. Victoria couldn't quite put her finger on why she was feeling this way too. Truth be told, the way Alaric looked just now had scared her. Despite knowing him for so many years, she had never seen him in so much pain before. As she thought about it, Victoria narrowed her eyes and looked at Alaric intently. "What's wrong with you? Do you have some incurable disease or something?" Alaric, who had been hanging his head, looked at her speechlessly when he heard her words. He scoffed. "An incurable disease? Are you hoping for me to die soon? Then why won't you go to the hospital?" Victoria pressed. It was strange that he had seemed so pained earlier, yet he refused to seek medical attention. Didn't he find himself acting strange too? Before he could answer, Victoria wanted to continue questioning him, but she was stopped when Alaric abruptly unlocked the car door and said hoarsely, "Go up." Victoria wanted to say more, but upon seeing his apathetic expression and the fact that he didn't seem interested in conversing any further, she suddenly lost her enthusiasm. She realized that even if Alaric had a medical condition, it wasn't her place to care for him anymore. They were about to get divorced, after all. With a cold heart, Victoria undid her seatbelt and prepared to get out of the car. "Wait." Unexpectedly, Alaric called out to her again. She turned to look. Did he change his mind? Does he want me to take him to the hospital? The next second, Alaric turned the keys and said coldly, "I'll go up with you." With that, he opened the car door and got out, leaving Victoria wondering what he was up to. Nonetheless, she had no choice but to follow him out of the car. When she got out of the car, Victoria noticed that Alaric had already come over to her side. He helped her close her car door and immediately picked her up in his arms. "It's fine," said Victoria, instinctively refusing. "What do you mean?" Alaric glared at her, his breath still rough. "After what happened today, can you walk up by yourself?" It was only a few steps, and Victoria didn't think she couldn't make it on her own with an injured foot. Elaine kicked hard, but even if it didn't appear to break the skin on the surface, it ultimately hurt deeply. If she wanted to get better, she would have to put up with the discomfort for a few days at the very least. Regardless, walking a short distance was not a problem since she could just endure the pain. Alaric had looked so painful just moments ago, yet he was now holding her. "Please put me down. Didn't you just dash shut up?" Alaric interrupted her impatiently. "I'll take you upstairs so that you can rest." Knowing that he was a very stubborn person, Victoria didn't say anything and silently hoped that this journey wouldn't take long. After Alaric brought her back to her room, he glanced at the wound on her leg and said, "If you need to bathe, ask the servant to come up and help you." "All right, I got it." Victoria nodded. Alaric looked at Victoria as she sat on the bed quietly and obediently, 7/8. Which caused him to feel a huge sadness in his heart. It was a long time before he finally said, "I'm sorry about today." Hearing this, Victoria became startled. She thought that the matter would just be skipped over and never expected him to apologize voluntarily. "In the future, I will protect you." Chapter 137. After saying those words, Alaric silently repeated them to himself. I won't let anyone lay a finger on Victoria ever again. To his surprise, Victoria merely smiled faintly in response. It's all right. You were also looking for someone, after all. If I were in your shoes, I would have done the same. It's all out of necessity. Alaric couldn't help but smile bitterly. What should he say? His wife was so gracious and composed. Even at a time like this, she was actively trying to give him a way out. However, her calm demeanor also implied something else. Well, I'm going to rest now. You should too. Victoria didn't want to stay any longer, fearing that the conversation between them would become more and more awkward. As such, she directly ended the topic. Hearing her say she wanted to rest, Alaric didn't say anything else. You should rest first. I'm going out for a bit. Victoria paused for a moment, then nodded. All right, be careful. As Alaric left the villa and got back into his car, his gaze became unfathomable. There was something lodged in his chest that he couldn't get rid of. Even though such a big incident had occurred, she still spoke to him politely and softly as if she had no resentment toward him. She even came up with an excuse for him when he hadn't protected her well enough. To Alaric, he'd rather her act like how she used to. He wanted her to get mad and question him for running out at a time like this. But now, it seemed like she wouldn't do such things anymore. How did they get to this point? On the other hand, Claudia immediately called her father as soon as Alaric left and told him about what happened today, including Alaric's suspicion of her and Elaine's collusion. Ever since Claudia saved Alaric and became the Cadogan's savior many years ago, the Johnsons had received numerous favors from the Cadogans in the business world. Before that, the Johnsons always struggled to advance beyond a certain point and could never climb any higher, causing Claudia's father to worry endlessly. However, Claudia happened to save Alaric at that time, and news of it spread throughout the entire upper class society overnight. The Johnsons were now the Cadogan family's savior and the two families would be on good terms in the future. Since then, they suddenly found themselves in high demand as many sought to work with them, and even those who had grudges against them in the past came to make peace. As a result, the Johnsons began to flourish as they rose to prominence, eventually becoming one of the top five enterprises in Gondra. In the past, they couldn't even make it into the top 20. Claudia's father was now highly respected in Gondra, and he even considered himself Alaric's future father-in-law. Subsequently, when he heard that Alaric was beginning to suspect his daughter, he panicked and immediately left work to meet his daughter. Upon seeing his daughter in the hospital with a broken forehead, Claudia's father became enraged. What happened, Claudia? How did you get hurt like this? Dad, Claudia burst into tears and threw herself into his arms. Her pitiful appearance broke her father's heart, and he comforted her before she told him everything that happened. I don't know what to do now, Dad. Al has begun to suspect me. Although I told him I had nothing to do with this matter and he doesn't blame me anymore, I feel like he won't treat me the same as before. Upon hearing this, Claudia's father held his daughter's hand and said gently, Claudia, you don't have to worry too much about this. No matter what, you are Alaric's savior, and as long as you hold this title, he will never treat you unfairly. he'll never treat me unfairly as long as I'm his savior, right? That's true, the Cadogan family values this very much. Otherwise, we wouldn't have risen so fast these years. At that, Claudia thought of something else. What if Alaric finds out Victoria was the one who saved him, not me? Given his personality, he might kill me. The thought of this possibility made Claudia break out in a cold sweat. Fortunately, there were no other witnesses besides Victoria and herself at the time. If a third person knew about it, she would be finished. How about this? Let me handle the issue with those two. You just have to focus on pleasing Alaric. When Claudia heard her father's choice of words, she was displeased. What do you mean by that, Dad? My relationship with Alaric is equal. I'm not like those women who try to please Alaric to climb up the ranks. Yes, yes, of course, my daughter is the best. Alaric likes you so much that he can't get enough of you. Just then, he noticed the wound on Claudia's forehead once again. As for the wound on your forehead, Claudia, it's best not to leave a scar. After all, men are superficial creatures. If you aren't beautiful in the future, they will become fickle. Talking about the wound on her forehead made Claudia feel insecure. I understand, Dad. I'll find a way to fix it later. Well, you should rest first. Remember to coax Alaric well. Men like being pampered, after all. If he's still angry, then you'll have to figure it out yourself. Just make sure you coax him well, understand? After 48 hours since Griselda underwent surgery, she finally got transferred from the intensive care unit to a regular ward. The Alaric family, who had been waiting all this while, finally breathed a sigh of relief. On the other hand, Victoria had already rested at home for a day, so her leg was no longer as painful as before. However, Alaric wasn't in favor of her visiting the hospital just yet. Upon learning of her injury, even Alaric's father and mother disagreed as well, insisting that she rest at home for another day. Your grandma is in the intensive care unit now. Even if you go, you won't be able to see her. You might as well rest at home for two more days. After that, Alaric will bring you to the hospital when she is out of the intensive care unit. In the end, Victoria was convinced and could only agree. Nonetheless, on the very next day before the 48 hours were up, she told Alaric that she wanted to visit Griselda at the hospital. At first, Alaric disagreed as he frowned and asked, "Has your injury healed? Shouldn't you rest for a few more days at home?" Upon hearing this, Victoria shook her head. "I don't need to rest anymore. I want to visit Grandma now." Rather than waiting until now, she should have gone to the hospital on the day she came back. If it weren't for Alaric's father and mother persuading her as well, Victoria would not have been so obedient. "Are you sure you want to go?" Victoria pursed her lips and said softly, "If you're too busy to take me, then I'll go by myself." Alaric remained silent for a long time, then suddenly agreed to take her. "Go and get changed, then. I'll take you there now." "All right." Victoria's face lit up with joy. Immediately, she turned and ran to change her clothes in excitement, but with a strange gait due to her leg injury. While watching her, Alaric couldn't help but smile. Be careful not to aggravate your leg injury. Chapter 138. After arriving at the hospital, Victoria was delighted to see that Griselda was recovering well, and she stayed by her side to keep her company. When Griselda saw her looking like a cheerful young girl, it lifted her spirits considerably as well. "Are you thirsty, Grandma? Does your wound hurt? Are you tired? Do you want to eat something or take a nap? If you can't sleep, I can tell you a story." Perhaps due to her excitement, Victoria did not notice the contradictory nature of her words. Griselda didn't point it out but instead said, "I'm not tired, but since want to tell me a story, I'll listen for a little while before sleeping." With that, Victoria began to tell Griselda various stories, and Griselda listened with relish, her lips curving into a benevolent smile. You meanwhile, as Mary listened to Victoria's gentle voice, she couldn't help but watch her in admiration, thinking that her daughter-in-law was quite remarkable. After all, she did not have that much patience to tell an elderly person such stories. Moreover, Victoria could narrate different stories without any references. Eventually, Griselda fell asleep to the sound of Victoria's soothing voice. Only after Griselda fell asleep for a while did Victoria stop. Just as she was about to sit on the edge of the bed, she saw Mary waving at her. She seemed like she had something to say, so Victoria followed her to the balcony of the ward. Mary closed the glass door, blocking the sound from spreading to the ward, then pulled Victoria to sit on a chair on the balcony. "How are you? Is your leg injury serious? It seems like you've recovered when I saw you walking just now." Victoria nodded. "Yeah, it has healed quite a bit." "That's good to hear. If you still feel uncomfortable, don't force yourself. Sit down and rest when you need to." "Okay, I will. By the way, this is for you." Suddenly, Mary took out a card from her bag and pushed it in front of Victoria. Seeing the bank card, Victoria was stunned. "What? Here's some pocket money for you," Mary said softly. "I don't need it." Instinctively, Victoria rejected the offer and pushed the card back to her. "What do you mean you don't need it? You've been married to Al for so long, but I've never given you any pocket money. What's wrong with giving you some now? Do you think my money is not good enough?" Hearing that, Victoria could only explain in a fluster, "It's not that. I have money. I work at the company, and I get a salary every month. You know that's just your salary. Is it the same as the pocket money I'm giving you? Besides, you're not even an employee of the Cadogan Group. You're the president's wife." When Victoria heard those words, she smiled shyly out of embarrassment. "The president's wife. I'll be losing that title in 2 days, though. Even now, I'm just the president's fake wife. Take it. It's something I'm only giving you," Mary said, pushing the bank card toward her. "Buy yourself something you like. Girls your age need to spend more money on dressing up. You always dress too plainly." Suddenly, she thought of Claudia, who had come to the hospital to secretly visit Griselda. Truth be told, the injury on Claudia's forehead looked shocking. Her face was pale, and she was still wearing a hospital gown. She was in such a hurry to come here that even her hair was messy. When she came with Alaric that day, she stood next to him cautiously, not even touching the hem of his clothes. With a pale complexion and a look of extreme fragility, she appeared pitiful. It was the kind of appearance that many men would likely find endearing and want to protect. Looking at Victoria in front of her, Mary sighed in secret. It's not that Victoria isn't good, but she's too independent and often solves things on her own. Claudia, on the other hand, as a woman, how could she not see the affection Claudia had for her son? After all, Claudia was their family's benefactor, so she still needed to be polite to her. However, this politeness was only limited to being a guest. If she wants to take Victoria's place and replace her, I will be the first to disapprove as a mother. Am I dressing too plainly? In actuality, Victoria never dressed plainly before Mary returned to the country, for she had always been fond of fashion and beauty. Before the Selwyn family went bankrupt, her clothes, jewelry, and bags were the trendiest of the season. She was also a premium customer of many brands, who would send her specific gifts each year and invite her to attend various events. However, after the Selwyn family went bankrupt, she didn't have the money or the mood to be extravagant anymore. "Even if Alaric gives me money, I..." She lowered her gaze without thinking about it anymore. After all, it was more reassuring to spend her own money. Since her marriage with Alaric was fake, she would feel guilty if she kept spending his money, but superficially, she still smiled and nodded in acceptance. "Okay, I will buy more clothes in the future. Thanks, Mom." Afterward, she accepted the bank card without any objection. At the same time, she thought to herself, "I will return the card to Alaric after we get our divorce certificate and have him return it to his mother." With this thought in mind, she felt more at ease. By the way, Mary, who had given her the pocket money, didn't plan on letting her go that easily. After Victoria accepted the bank card, she brought up the incident from the other day. "Was it Bane who saved you that day?" Talking about that day, Victoria nodded. "Yes. Well, that child is really thoughtful. I heard that he planned to come and visit when he heard that your grandma was having surgery, and he happened to see you being taken away." At that, Mary couldn't help but sigh. "Thank goodness he witnessed it. Otherwise, we can't guarantee what would have happened later. Also, Mary has a very agile mind, for she didn't wait for Victoria to answer before starting the next sentence. After you came back that day, did you go through a comprehensive check-up? "Not again." Whenever Victoria heard the word, she would get a headache. She had been hiding it well, but because of this sudden incident, her secret was discovered by Bane. Fortunately, Bane wanted to help Alaric and Claudia get together. Otherwise, if he had told Alaric about this matter without her consent, the trouble would have been on herself. "Yeah, I did go through one." Despite that, Mary wasn't too reassured and said softly, "How about this? After your grandma recovers in the next few days, let's go for another comprehensive check, up at this hospital. We must not overlook any issues." "In the next few days? I'll probably not be Mrs. Cadogan by then." "Yet," Victoria nodded. "Okay." Chapter 139. Victoria was caught off guard when Mary's words turned out to be true in a few days. Just 2 days later, Mary suddenly pulled her aside excitedly and said, "Let's do the check, up tomorrow, Victoria." Stunned by the sudden news, Victoria asked, "Why has it been brought forward, Mom? I thought you said to wait for Grandma to recover after a few more days." With a smile, Mary replied, "That's because your grandma has been recovering well lately, and the doctor says she's in good condition. Also, I heard that a very skilled doctor is visiting, and he'll only be here for a few days. You should take this opportunity to do the check, up, and we can show the doctor the results later." Upon hearing those words, Victoria finally understood why Mary wanted her to do the check, up ahead of schedule. However, she could only awkwardly think of a way to refuse. "Actually, it's just a regular check, up, and normal machines are sufficient. Even a regular doctor can interpret them." "That's true, but this is an opportunity that's right in front of us. Your grandma and I have already talked about it. I told her that I'll take you for a check, up in a day or two, and she has already agreed." Instantly, Victoria turned speechless. She had thought of using Griselda's name if the previous excuse didn't work, but Mary had somehow managed to convince her to. "Isn't she too efficient? If I refuse now, will she find me suspicious? After all, as women, our thoughts are quite similar. It seems that refusing at this point is impossible. I have to think of another way." That evening, when Alaric came to pick her up after work, she took the initiative to bring up the matter on the way. "I heard that Grandma has been recovering well recently." With just one sentence, he understood what she wanted to say. Immediately, he furrowed his brow and remained silent, but Victoria immediately noticed the change in his aura. For some reason, she felt her heart sink as she considered how to broach the topic with him. Unexpectedly, even at this point, she still wanted to part with him amicably. Although she would be raising their child alone and might never see him again in her lifetime, she still wanted to abide by her principles at this moment. "Honestly speaking, my idea is to keep this from Grandma for the time being, but we can try telling Dad and Mom first. They are young and optimistic, so they should be able to accept it. What do you think?" He remained silent, but after a while, he asked, "And the reason being?" His voice was icy and lacked any warmth, which was even colder than she had imagined. "Just say we can't get along anymore. You can also say that I'm the one who asked for the divorce." At this point, he sneered. "So, you've already come up with a reason so quickly and even thought it through so carefully, planning to take all the blame for yourself." Victoria pursed her lips at his words. Although she didn't want to do it, he had helped her when she went bankrupt, and the thought of leaving with their child made her feel guilty. "As long as I can divorce him, I'm willing to take the blame for everything. If this drags on, it will be detrimental to me. We are always together in our daily lives, so I don't know when I will be exposed." At this thought, she forced a smile that was difficult to maintain and said, "Well, if you say that I asked for the divorce, it won't affect you being with anyone else in the future." Screech. Hearing this, Alaric suddenly turned the car at the next turn and made a sharp break. The car made a screeching sound before coming to a sudden stop at the side of the road. After he stopped the car, he pressed his hands on the wheel and looked at her with a gloomy expression. "So, you're considering me in every way. Should I thank you, Miss Snowball?" He emphasized her name at the end of his sentence through gritted teeth. Initially, Victoria didn't want to say anything, but the words were on her lips, and she couldn't hold back anymore. "There's no need to thank me. If it's okay with you, can we go to the city hall tomorrow?" Once again, he remained silent. He had been staring at her the whole time, his gaze as sharp as ever, never leaving her for a moment. "He obviously heard me, but why isn't he responding?" Looking at him acting like this, she felt a little helpless, for she had no clue what he was thinking at all. Previously, it was because of Griselda's condition that they had no choice but to postpone their divorce, but Griselda had been recovering well over the past few days. "Maybe it's just my imagination, but he seems to not want a divorce. That can't be right, though. He probably can't wait to get divorced so that he can marry Claudia. If it weren't for Grandma's illness, he probably would have married Claudia already instead of faking a marriage with me to make Grandma happy." Her heart turned cold upon coming to this conclusion, and she didn't look at him anymore but turned around to the front. "Okay, it's decided. We'll find a time to go to the city hall tomorrow." She made the decision herself. After she turned away, Alaric's face turned extremely unpleasant, but he remained motionless in his original position. The car was still parked on the side of the road without moving, and the atmosphere inside the car was tense to the extreme. Some time later, she realized that he was still not driving. Her delicate eyebrows furrowed as she thought, "Is he planning to stay here tonight? Aren't we leaving?" she asked. Yet, there was still no response from him, and his gaze was still fixed on her. Victoria had no idea what he was planning to do, so she thought to herself, "Whatever. I'm tired of all the talk. If he isn't leaving, I won't leave either. We can just spend the night here." Considering this, she didn't dwell on this matter anymore. She emotionlessly adjusted the temperature in the car 2 degrees higher and unbuttoned 2 buttons on her coat to have more space to stretch when lying down. Then she adjusted her seat backward. When she was doing all of this, she could feel Alaric still staring at her, but she ignored him. As soon as she adjusted the seat, she lay down and closed her eyes. "If he wants to buy time, I'll just sleep." The whole time, she could feel that even after she closed her eyes, his gaze was still on her face, so she had to pretend that she couldn't feel anything. At first, she felt a little uncomfortable when his gaze was on her, but as drowsiness gradually set in, she stopped paying attention to it. She had been especially tired since becoming pregnant and often couldn't get enough sleep. Coupled with the frequent trips to the hospital lately, she slept even less. As such, it didn't take long after lying down for her to fall into a deep sleep. After she fell asleep, she didn't realize that Alaric was listening to her even breathing and watching her peaceful face as she slept, his face gradually turning blue. How can she sleep so soundly in this situation? Yet, in the end, he couldn't bear to wake her up. As time passed, his gaze became helpless, and he couldn't help but use his fingertips to lightly touch her fair forehead. "How can you be asleep?" Are you that heartless? Chapter 140. The next day, when Victoria woke up, she found that it was already 8:00 a.m. She looked at the familiar surroundings and the snow, white ceiling before carefully feeling the soft bed beneath her. Finally, she confirmed that she was in her bed at home. After a moment of daze, she sat up while holding her head. I can't believe I slept so soundly. I remember falling asleep in the car last night, which means that Alaric must have brought me back. She sat there for a while, then picked up her phone to check for any messages from Alaric. However, there were none, and their chat history was still empty. After some thought, she called Alaric while walking into the bathroom to wash up. The phone rang for a long time before he answered. What is it? His voice was cold and clear. Victoria had already squeezed some toothpaste onto her toothbrush and was about to brush her teeth when she heard his voice, so her actions came to a halt. Regarding the matter I told you yesterday, we're supposed to go dash before she could finish speaking, he interrupted her coldly and said, I have a very important meeting to attend now. It will probably take 3 hours. Hearing that, she became speechless. She pressed her lips together and tried to control her anger. Can't you postpone it a little? You can spare half an hour, can't you? However, he replied directly, I can't. This meeting is urgent. If it weren't for working at the Cadogan Group for so long, she would probably have believed him. However, before she could say anything else, Alaric said, I have to go to the meeting now. Bye. He hung up the phone right away. When Victoria heard the busy tone on her phone, she stood still with the phone in her hand, speechless. Turns out it wasn't just my imagination yesterday. He doesn't want a divorce, but why? With these questions in her mind, she quickly got ready and took a shower since she hadn't taken one last night. When she finished getting ready and went downstairs, she saw Mary in the living room. As soon as Mary saw her, she immediately walked up to her. You're finally awake, Victoria. Only when Victoria saw Mary did she remember that the woman was taking her to the hospital for a check, up today. Initially, she planned on talking to Alaric about getting a divorce on their way home last night. If he agreed, she could use that as an excuse to leave with him and go get their divorce certificate today. When they returned home, she could be honest with Adrian and Mary about the divorce. By then, they would be distracted by the news of the divorce and wouldn't think about taking her to get a medical check, up. That was the plan that she had in mind. However, she never expected Alaric to be uncooperative. Urgent meeting, my foot. It's just an excuse. She felt that he was deliberately avoiding her. Victoria? Victoria. Mary's voice brought her back to reality. What's wrong with you? You look so absent-minded. Mary looked at her with great concern and held her hand. Did you hurt yourself somewhere else that day? It seems like this check, up today is necessary. Mom, I don't want to get another check, up. Victoria replied. With Alaric avoiding her, she couldn't go to the city hall alone, so she had to refuse the medical check, up. However, Mary would never let her off so easily. She immediately frowned upon hearing Victoria's refusal. Why not? You were absent, minded just now when I was talking to you. Maybe those people hurt you somewhere else. Victoria could only maintain her smile and say, "No, I only hurt my calf that day. It doesn't hurt anywhere else." Furthermore, it was Elaine who kicked her calf. Although Christopher was the one who kidnapped her, it was a surprise he didn't do anything to her. Thinking about him and Elaine, Victoria became curious about what had happened to them. "By the way, Mom, do you know what happened to those two after that day?" Mary shook her head. "I don't know, but Bane said he would take care of it. He's reliable, so I trust him. Don't worry, I heard that Al also looked into this matter after that, so they will definitely be punished. Bane is handling this matter now, eh? Probably." With that piece of information, Victoria planned on visiting Bane. "Let's go. I've already made an appointment with the doctor. Although it's a little late now, we can still make it in time." After speaking, Mary took Victoria's hand and led her out. Victoria wanted to refuse, but Mary had already pulled her out of the house. In the end, they arrived at the hospital. At this point, Victoria was becoming nervous. "Is there no way for me to escape today? If Mom finds out that I'm pregnant, she will certainly tell the rest. Mom, I just remembered that I have something else to do, Mary Statham." A surprised female voice suddenly came from behind them. This voice. When Victoria turned around and saw who it was, the color on her lips gradually faded. How can it be her? Mary's full name was Mary Statham, and she and Samantha, the wife of the Rogers family's patriarch, were considered frenemies. Samantha was jealous of Mary's excellence and beauty, whereas Mary couldn't stand Samantha's arrogance and stinginess, so the two of them always acted superficially like best friends. This was because the Cadogan family and the Keith family had business dealings, so they had to maintain their dignity when they met each other at various events. Samantha Keith. Samantha took a few steps forward, looking at Mary in front of her with some surprise. "It's really you. When did you come back? Why didn't you tell me? I could have picked you up from the airport." Upon hearing this, Mary sneered in secret. "I knew you were busy, so I couldn't ask you to pick me up from the airport. How could I be busy? Even if I were, I would have made time for you. Well, I'll let you know in advance the next time I come back. Please do." The two of them insincerely exchanged pleasantries as though they were close friends. After the pleasantries were over, Samantha suddenly noticed Victoria standing next to them. At this moment, she remembered the incident where Victoria saw her daughter at the hospital last time. Her face changed, and she chuckled. "Oh, Victoria's here too. What happened? Why are you guys here at the hospital?" As she spoke, her gaze kept shifting up and down Victoria's body, finally landing on her stomach. When Victoria noticed that, she became speechless. Meanwhile, Mary didn't know Samantha had some hidden motive, but she had always disliked her. When she saw Samantha using such impolite eyes to scrutinize her daughter-in-law, she didn't like it and stepped forward to block Victoria. "What about you, Samantha? What are you doing at the hospital today?" At her question, Samantha finally remembered her purpose for coming to the hospital, and her eyes flashed with hostility. She then looked at Victoria, who was behind Mary, and a hint of resentment flashed across her eyes. End of chapters 136 to 140 of Departure with a Belly. Please wait for the next chapters. Don't forget access website novelsaudio.com every day to update, and in the meantime, don't leave the website. You can listen to other famous novel titles such as Ex-Husband's Regret by Evelyn M.M., The Broken Warrior's Daughter by Cooper, When His Eyes Opened by Simple Silence, Can't Win Me Back by Ginger Sue, The CEO's Ex-Wife is a Famous Doctor by Lee L.H.Y.Z., You're Gonna Miss Me When I'm Gone by Cora Smith. And more.